Hello, I'm the James Dean of Flushing, Dylan Gaiman.
And I have no class, Trix Mix.
This is the Nanny and Niles pod, where one gay man and his best girl rewatch the 1993 show, The Nanny, one episode every week. So this week we're watching season one, episode two, Smoke Gets in Your Lies, which is obviously a spin on Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. The synopsis from IMDb says, as a result of Brighton getting caught smoking, Fran takes him to see her grandma, Yetta, who has been smoking all her life. So every week we're going to do a signature cocktail and a signature snack. You can see last week's signature cocktail and signature snack on TikTok or Instagram at the Nanny and Niles pod. So this week we did a cocktail called Yetta Rita, and that's basically a blueberry margarita, which I decided for no reason at all.
So good.
Thank you. Let's do a cheers.
Cheers. Clink. It's in a mason jar, so you can clink all you want, as drunk as you want. It'll be fine.
And would you like to tell us about our signature snack?
Yes, I made a Monte Cristo puff pastry hot pocket with homemade raspberry jam.
So last week's stuff is already up on social media. This week's will be up there before next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's on the Instagram.
So we have our outline. We're going to start now. Fran wants Maxwell to be more involved in his children's lives. Here, her latest request is for the entire family to attend a carnival at Brighton School. Unfortunately, Maxwell declines because of work commitments. So, before this, actually, they have Fran, who brings over her friend, and she's like, I want you to drop dead. I want her to drop dead when she sees the place. And she goes, I'm dropping dead.
I love when her friend comes in. I mean, honestly, when you have a friend that you haven't seen a lot for, you know, a long time, and they come in, you want everything to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have your current friend, would be Niles, who's like, you know, kind of supporting. It's like, what's the big deal, you know? And then she's like, I just want to stand right here by the stairway and look good.
Yeah, she's like, I want her to drop dead. And he goes, how thoughtful of you. Yeah. And then he quickly turns around and goes, you pose. So I love that freaking relationship where he's just like, witiful comment. All right, I'm on your side, girl. Pose while I open the door. And she goes, I'm dropping dead.
I feel like that's something I would do to you. Just like, just support me and I completely forget about you. Just don't care about you at all. I'm just like, just focus on me.
And then just as she says, I'm dropping dead, Niles goes, mission accomplished. So like, he's right on board. He's there to back her up. I just love their relationship so much. It's so freaking fabulous.
And I love that, like, when she comes in, you know, obviously, naturally, when you first sit down, you're having your tea, and then you're talking, you're always going to always start with a hi, or maybe talk about, and you'll find yourself maybe boasting or bragging about how good, you know, everything is. And then, you know, something will, you know, reality kind of kicks in. And I like that Fran was like, you know, everything's, you know, no complaints, everything's good. And then the kids come in, and they just start fighting with each other.
So she asks about a ticket stub and she's like, no, you don't have to tip him either. She's not classy at all. But in my opinion, you're classy if you're tipping, right?
Yeah. I mean, do you tip butlers?
Well, I guess
you
not.
Do. You can.
I guess not the butler, but I don't know. The no tipping part got me a little, I was like, well, I don't know about that. But you know, the pay stub or the ticket stub. For the jacket, I understand that. That was cool. I was on board for that. Oh, and then she was saying it has more bathrooms than the Taj Mahal. Who can't use more bathrooms? Like, that is like, I was definitely sold in the house at this point. I'm like, wait, that's a great idea. This huge mansion has all these different bathrooms. That's a huge selling point.
Honestly, I love bathrooms. I can use one everywhere, but as long as I don't have to clean them.
I'm sure they have. Well, I guess who? They don't. We don't really. get to see a maid, or they don't mention a maid, I guess.
Right?
But I don't think Niles is the one cleaning the bathrooms. No,
they've got to have some kind of maid service thing in there going on. Like, they've got to have the whole shebang, especially... Yeah, because Niles, you know, is for everything else. I don't think he would end up cleaning the whole thing. I mean, that would just be...
I just can't imagine Niles on his hands and knees scrubbing a toilet. I can't imagine yeah, that. Yeah,
just... Do butlers do that? No, it would be the cleaning people. Yeah,
I don't know. We need to see a cleaning lady at some point.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, can give us your input, too, on our Instagram. Because then, you know, let us know.
Yeah, let us know if you know of a cleaning lady being portrayed or shown in the show and when that happens.
Or, like, a really rich person. If you're a really rich person or you know a really rich person, let us know how it goes down. Because we watch these reality shows. We know they have assistants and cleaning staffs. But, like, how do we really know what goes on in those households? Like, sometimes, I know it sounds a little creepy. You know, I'll see a big... Like, I know there's, like, a nice house around here in the neighborhood, and I remember, you know, me and my best friend, you know, not you, different best friend, was looking at it, and we're like, wow, this, we need to know, like, what's in this house. We just wonder, you ever do that? You're just like, I wonder who lives here, and, like, I wonder how they live their life, you know? And
my mom was a cleaning lady, so when I was a kid, during summer, when I didn't have school, a lot of times she would bring us with, me and my sister, and we would, like, be with her and or sometimes help clean these mansions.
Yeah.
And there was these kids that had a zip line. There was kids that had these bouncy houses.
What?
And, like, these huge game rooms. And one time, I guess, like, the kids came home early when we were cleaning. And they were like, oh, like, he can go out and play with the kids. That's fine. So we go in the bouncy house. They thought it was really funny to turn off the air so it would collapse on me. Yeah, they were trying to bully me.
Little pricks.
I wasn't about that. But zip line was cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. I can't even imagine having a zip line. I remember not even wanting to put a TV in my daughter's room or we initially did. And then I realized, like, no, like, it's way too soon. Even technology, I kind of feel bad because it's like I gave it to my child in the beginning and I said, here's the iPad, here you go. And then I realized, like, I might not be, you know, I'm not criticizing parenting, do whatever the hell you want, but whatever works, because I rely on devices too. But I think it's just amazing how much some of these kids really get.
Yeah.
You know.
But I'd rather give my kid a zip line rather than a phone.
That's true. Actually, you're active. Right. That is actually, in a bouncy house. That's exercise. Exactly.
So again, we're in the theme song, and I'm sticking to this whole wearing tan thing, because I paid more attention. Not only are they not wearing tan in the theme song, or the intro, but before the intro, that scene, no one's wearing tan. After the intro, the next scene, no one's, I'm like, where is the tan?
What was there supposed to be tan?
Well, yeah, because it says she's the lady in red while everyone else is wearing tan. It says in the song. But there's, I'm like, I need a reference.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wearing tan. Okay, got it. Wow. You know what? You clearly have watched this more than I have, but I love that we're going over all of this so I can, is it supposed to be literal or just kind of like, oh, that's what
I need? I need a literal... I need a representation. You need to make it make sense.
We need the composer now.
So when we learn about the carnival, we have Maggie doing the whole orange rinds thing. Now, that reminded me of a story you've told me in the past where you're sick with the eucalyptus leaves.
Yes. And that was back when I was little Trish in the Philippines. You know, and my grandmother, she's amazing. She still lives in the Philippines. But I remember when we would get sick, your Filipino grandmother would be the one, obviously, like, or your mom, you know, they'd be in charge. And they would always say Vicks. I mean, you'll hear Joe Coy talk about the Vicks and how, you know, you spread it everywhere. But in the Philippines, my grandmother was so old school, and she would chop down these eucalyptus, you know, like leaves and branches from the back. There was a eucalyptus tree behind her house, and she would chop it down with her machete, and then she'd put it in a big pot of water, boil it, and then that, you know, all that that steam would be minty and just, you know, and she would ask me to get under this sheet and I would be scared shitless because I'm like, I don't think you should have a 5-year-old near a boiling pot of water. I mean, she would take it off the heat, but it would still be super hot with the eucalyptus in there and just the sheet would be over you so you could get all that steam. But honestly, it worked. I think that was just like a humidifier or whatever you would use when you were sick. It was great.
Well, the orange rinds apparently did not work, which she stated. But let's talk about carnivals. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of carnivals. I always liked them as a kid, and I would still go to them as an adult. Have you had many experiences with carnivals?
Oh, my God. I freaking love them. I know Jersey has, like, the Meadowlands Fair. And I remember when I was, well, I was probably, like, in high school or middle school. And just go and, you know, I remember we were, like, real boy crazy and just want to look at boys and all these boys. And have snacks, and you'd have whatever little bit of money that you had from your allowance. I think that was like the best part because you didn't have much, and then you just kind of walked around, you know. Like now, as a parent, when I go to a carnival with my kids, I will have fun with them, but it's different, you know, when you're, you know, responsible for these little bodies, you know, and make sure they eat, and you spend so much. But back then, when I was younger, it was great.
So it. what's your favorite part of a carnival?
I'm always going to say the food.
Okay,
because it's just lemonade and just whatever snacks they have.
Any specific funnel food?
Cake. Funnel cake? Is that was your, a like... thing. Yeah. Or like if it was like an Italian carnival type thing. Like,
well, I'm sorry. What Italian carnival?
So it would be, well, actually.
They serve a pasta?
The carnival wouldn't be Italian itself, okay. But it would be like a church or something. And then they would have zeppelins and it's like.
What's a zeppelin?
It's like a funnel cake, but you've never had a zeppelin?
No.
Okay, so I am uproared for you. It's this, it's almost like a funnel cake, except it's more like a piece of dough,
mm-hmm.
and it's just these fried pieces of dough. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure that's like pizza dough, maybe.
Yeah.
They just, you know, put it in these little balls. It's not like perfectly round balls. Am I going to get banned if I say balls too many times? So, but it's a dough and you just like, you know, they take it and then they fry it, you know, deep fry it. And then they take it out of that oil. And while it's piping hot, they put confectionery sugar all over. Yeah, all over it. So you kind of get it everywhere. Like kind of like funnel cake, you know, so.
Okay, so we're learning about a lot of pastries today, apparently.
Yes.
Because we've also got the babka. Do you know what babka is?
I don't know what a babka is. Wow.
I think as soon as I explain it, you'll be like, oh, I know what that is. So it's kind of like this dough that has several different layers. And in between the layers is either cinnamon or chocolate. So it's, yeah, it's like that bread cake that's like layered in this like circular way. And it's just all this chocolate and or cinnamon in between the layers.
Freaking delicious. It's like so it would be almost like a cinnamon roll, but just like.
Yes. Kind of like that, but way thinner layers. And like there's so many more layers than like a cinnamon roll. So a cinnamon roll probably has like 3 to 4, while this is like 10.
You know what? May have seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to have a babka. It's impossible not to have a babka. Growing up in Jersey and New York.
So I really like when Grace was saying, do you think he's seeing other children? Her face was just so freaking cute. And I was just like, oh no, don't think they're little Gracie.
I mean, yeah, it's like every kid's fear, right? Like, I mean, we just want to be able to.
I guess.
As our parents seeing other
I was like, please go bother someone else's
actually,
kids.
Yeah, you're right. I
Stop
was,
bothering
for
me.
For me, I think, you know, it was when I was little, because I mainly grew up with my grandmother, and then my parents came here, and I was in the Philippines. I feel like maybe I have attachment issues, if anything, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, don't leave me or something. But, yeah, I think growing up in the Philippines without my parents, it was a little bit different, but I definitely feel for them when, you know, one parent is like super busy and you're like, I don't know if they'll make it or are they going to have time, you know?
So one thing that I saw coming, and I was waiting for it. I didn't know exactly how it was going to go out, but Maxwell was saying, I'm waiting for a butt. And she goes, however. I was like, oh, she's going to say something that's like similar to get her point across. I love that. That was very, very clever, Miss Fran.
And I mean, as women, we're always, I feel like we'll find sometimes a way, actually just men and women, but... Or women and gays, I think. No, we're just clever with our answers, you know? And I love that, because she could kind of get in there. Or maybe a normal nanny wouldn't.
So Brighton is caught smoking at school, and Fran realizes that he got the idea to smoke from a story she told him. So, what do you think? Do you think that this is her fault?
I think at this point, you know... I wouldn't exactly say, like, it was her fault. It possibly, but I feel like this situation would have came about already. Either way, I think us, you know, like, you know, just growing up, you're surrounded with, I think that's always my constant fear as a parent. Like, am I going to surround my kids with, you know, this, or what are they going to see? How are they going to handle it? Am I, like, equipped, you know, are they equipped with the tools that they need, you know, mentally, emotionally, to, like, handle these things? So I feel like, you know, it's her fault, but in a way, I think it worked out perfect, because I feel like he would have been posed with the situation. And if they didn't do what they did, I don't know how they would have handled it otherwise. Or
yeah, I mean, I... think that when she was telling her story, she was so caught up in telling her story that she wasn't looking at him, and his facial expressions, his body language made it very obvious of like how he was perceiving this story. I think if she looked at him and paid attention, she could have realized that this is how this was gonna go.
It's crazy, because like even me as a, like, I'm the eldest cousin, you know, on my mom's side, and I think sometimes, you know, I say things to my younger cousins, or, you know, or just in general, sometimes you say things around younger kids and then you don't realize like how that impacts them. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I have to be careful with some of my stories, you know, like in high school or something. I have to at least share. So if it was a mistake that I made or something, maybe they won't make that mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the only way it's effective.
So with the faked signature, or no, not faked signature, but like, so faked signature, or trying to get your parent to sign something without them reading what they were signing. Have you ever done that, where you were like trying to get someone to sign something really fast where they didn't read what they were signing? Or have you ever faked your parent's signature?
I remember my method was, I would always get to the mail before my mom. Mm-hmm. So then if I saw that progress, at that time we call it progress report, then I would get it. I would take the progress report and have it for myself. And then I would just forge a signature. And the thing is, one day I was not fast enough. I guess I was dilly-dallying with my friends after school. And then I decided, you know, to come home just a little bit later that afternoon or early evening. And I remember it specifically. I was walking to my house with my two best friends. And when we were approaching the house, my uncle was leaving. And of course, my uncle would be there. And he was like, oh, you're in so much trouble. Like, you know, with his accent and everything. He's just like, oh, you're in so much trouble. Oh, your mom is pissed. And I'm like, oh, my God. And he was like the worst person to deliver this. And so I looked at my friends and I said, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, what should I do? Like, should I even go inside? Should I, like, relocate? Should I just like move? Should I just like go to a different state? I don't know, because my mom is sweet as pie, but man, I got inside and she literally threw this progress report across the table at me, and she's like, what is this shit? And I was like, oh my God, I should have caught it. So I think that was one of the last times, and I had to really kind of get it together, or at least get better with getting the progress report before she got to it. So
See, I feel like I was the person who was more curious if I could get away with it rather than actually using this situation. So, like, I don't think I ever had something that I forged a signature that, like, I was hiding anything. Like, it was just something very simple, probably that, like, my parents were too busy and I was just like, I'm just going to do it myself. Or it was something very, like, mundane, and I was just, I would, like, layer certain things to see if they would, like, pick up the first page to read the second before signing it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm logging this back in my brain, like, oh, I can get away with this. But I don't think I ever had to do that.
What was, like, what's mundane? Like, what would be, like, a reason that you would get a progress report?
Well, not a progress report, or, but signatures could be used like, a field trip. Like, you have to sign away for a field trip or something like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't always have to be bad trash.
You know what? You're right. I was just thinking that. I was like, in my head the whole time, it was everything that I did.
Yeah.
Which is clearly like, oh no. I think I had my bad point when I was in high school, for sure. So that's why I was not thinking about permission slips.
But I didn't get caught.
I was, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen those sticker pictures. Like, you would go in a booth at the mall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we would... I remember cutting school specifically. Mm-hmm. We'd go to the mall and everything was still closed. And then you had to look, like, not, like, too obvious that you were cutting school. But then again, you see these young people and, like, mm-hmm. what the hell are you doing here at 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever? Mm-hmm. I don't know. How the heck? And we would take those sticker pictures.
And you had evidence and you got caught.
Yeah, it was, like, in the booth. It was, like, you know, like, you go in the booth. And I still have some of them from, you know... till this day, I still have some. But I think what's really funny is back then we had the landline.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would actually sign on to the internet. So then the school couldn't reach the phone at home. Mm-hmm. But then my mom would also be at work. But my thing was, I don't want them to leave a message even on the answering machine or just in case my mom gets to it first or something. And I feel like I gave them a general number to my mom's job, which she worked in a nursing home. So in my head, I'm like, well, good luck finding her. But I don't know. Mm. This was just my thought process.
I did skip school once and go to the mall, where I didn't realize what time the mall opened. I think it opened at 10. And obviously, if I'm skipping school, I'm getting there way earlier than 10. Yeah. And the security guard was like, you know the mall isn't open here yet. Are you guys students? And our one friend was mad quick. And she was like, yeah, in college. And so, like, so we got away with it because they thought we were just college students who didn't know when the mall opened. But we were very close.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought I was really slick because one time it was me and my friend and it was senior cut day. We weren't seniors. We were sophomores.
Mm.
And me and my friend decided to go to her house. Well, just she was like, come to my house. And then her boyfriend and his group were all there. You know, they just came walking by, you know, on the, you know, and then they came in. We're all watching TV and we're like, how are we going to get out of school? You know, and my dumbass decides to call from the same phone and they wouldn't allow us to obviously block the number. So you had to unblock, you know, just call without blocking it. And in my head, maybe if I space it out, the school won't notice that it's from the same number. I called and I must have done like three different. How do you do three different Filipino accents? I was like, this is Mrs. Silva and I am calling for, you know, this person. And then they caught on. And all of a sudden, just when we thought we got away with it, the cops came knocking at her door and everyone scrambled. I mean, the boys like hid under beds and this real senior was her brother, my friend's brother at the time, and he was sleeping upstairs. He wasn't even doing anything bad. And then somehow her little brother was there, and he saw the cops and started crying, like, don't take me. And he was, like, probably 7 or 8 years old or something. It was just hilarious. And then we got taken back to school in a cop car. I've never been in the back of a cop car, but I like to pride myself on the fact that we got caught, I think, last. We were one of the people that got caught last, and we made it to school later than everyone else. Because apparently they had a list of all the people that cut. And then all of us were crammed in this vice principal's office. And all you hear him say when he was calling the Filipino parents, because it was a Filipino crew, they were, you'd hear him say, oh, well, truant is, because all the Filipino parents were like, what does truant mean? What is truant? And it was just basically you not going to school, you know? But it was just hilarious. And then they couldn't get to my mom. So for me, I was like, oh, I remember having to walk home to my friend's house. Well, walk home, with my friend, and I said, I have to get like a record deal or something today or something, because I have to bring good news to my mom. And I was shitting my pants. It was insane.
So back to Brighton and his smoking, and then he's trying to say that it all was because of the story that Fran told him. So would you keep it a secret and not let Maxwell know, or would you do what she did and was like, I have to tell him?
I have to tell him. I mean, at this point, it's just the right thing to do, especially if you're going to be living with these people and you're working for them and you're supposed to do the right thing for the kids. You know, I definitely, just sell myself out and just say it, or just give myself away, if that's the right term.
I would definitely be tempted, especially after Niles is saying like, oh, well, all the other nannies wrote, like, signed off for these things. And obviously, like, this is not the first time that any of the kids have been remotely bad. Like, this is the situation. Like, the kids are always doing bad things. You know, there's nannies that have quit. They're always signing. The one nanny got carpal tunnel from signing all these, like, slips of, like, things that have gone wrong in school. So I think I would have been kind of coached by Niles and by Brighton to just be like, well, I guess Maxwell doesn't need to know.
Just, like, let it go. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the cool one.
So Brighton tries to blackmail Fran into not telling his dad, but she feels that she needs to tell him anyway. When Fran tries to tell Maxwell, he is too busy to listen to anything she has to say. Now, obviously, at this point, I don't think it's Fran's fault at all. He was being all buggered. He doesn't want to say, okay, like, let me hear what you need to say. He's like, nah, like, just handle it. That would have been the pushover for me.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could tell that she was, the whole stress eating, and she was like, telling, Niles and being defensive, like, as mm-hmm. he was serving her, like, to say something. And she's clearly in this, like, predicament, and it's like, what do you do?
Well, we all know that I stress eat. So we'll be at work. We work together, by the way. And there's days when I'm just not having it, and I say, do you want to go to the bakery? I could use something to snack on. And I remember the one day we go to the bakery, and I'm saying, what should I get, this or should I get that? Should I get this or should I get that? And Trish is saying, oh, we'll just get both. And I said, no, I can't get both. And then the next thing you know, I'm at the register with both things. And she said, I thought you weren't going to get both. And then I go, I think I'm on my period.
Yeah, you're basically like, I'm on my period, I'm getting this. Like, yeah. I was like,
I wasn't having it.
That was the best excuse, though. And, I was just like, I just died. I just cracked up. And it's true. Who doesn't want to stress eat when they're, when they're stressed? It's like, they say that carbs or bread or whatever it is, when you eat carbs, it triggers like a happy feeling in your brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dopamine? I think it's the same as alcohol. It's the same chemical. So, not obviously not as intense, but,
So technically, bread is a drug, then.
your bread, your rolls are my drug.
Food, really. I mean, technically it is. People get addicted to food. I'm pretty sure I had, had an addiction with food. I still have, but I think, with my weight loss, I kind of got that under control. But it's definitely, it's definitely hard not to. But I love that Niles, again, he's just there, for support. And with his little innuendos and little comments, I love that he can kind of get it out of her. Like, she was guilty, and he didn't have to say much. He kind of asked a question or said a quick, comment. And I think that was enough for her to be like, ugh, like, really feel guilty, know?
Mm-hmm. So I like when she says that she's about to get kicked out right when she learned what the bidet was and it wasn't a water fountain. Oh my God.
Like, bidets should just be standard in every home. Are we not advanced enough to have that? I mean, they have like the handheld ones, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and then they have the fancy ones that you can wire and have two different temperatures.
It is standard in other countries, just not the U.S. at this point in time. By the way, speaking about what's going on in the U.S. right now, happy Easter, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It was just Easter yesterday.
Happy Easter. Wow, that was just yesterday. Why does it feel like ages ago?
I know.
Ugh.
So, we are also referenced with talking like her parents, which then later she talks about how Maxwell is starting to talk like his parents as well. And she's like, oh, don't you hate that? Do you say anything now, especially since you're a mom, is there anything that coming out of your mouth that you're like, oh my God, that's my mom?
Oh my God, absolutely. You know, anything when I'm about to do something, I'm sure the moms out there or parents, you know, period, can identify with this. When you're about to do something and then your kid or just something happens and then you have to stop, you know, to do what your kids need or what your husband needs or your spouse or whatever it is, or there's always some kind of thing going on and you just want to either get to work or get whatever it is that you need to get done and you get interrupted.
Mm.
That's like my main thing.
So you have similar pet peeves.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So are you familiar with the evil eye?
Actually, my mom, you know, loves that symbol all the time, but I'm not 100% on what it is.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of different ideas of it, because when she's talking about it in the show, it seems to be more directed towards karma.
Yes.
While I believe when you get the bracelets and the necklaces, that's more of it being a protection charm.
Yes.
And something that I know from watching Charmed from 1998, the old Charmed, not the new one, the gypsy, her like family crest.
Yeah.
Is the evil eye, and she says it's a protection charm. Though I don't know if it's the same kind that we reference selling them in bodegas and stuff. But she says that it's the evil eye that looks upon those who wish you evil.
Yes.
Something along those lines.
I mean, I just Googled it and it says the evil eye is a look or stare that is believed to bring bad luck for the person at whom it is directed for reasons of envy or dislike.
Mm.
The perception of the nature of the phenomenon it causes and possible protective measures varies between tribes and cultures. That's why it has
it's so varied. Yes, look at
meanings.
That.
We learn something new every day. I should probably get one then, because, you know, I'm sure I have a lot of haters. So.
One term that I hadn't heard before was boobamizer.
I love that.
She goes, oh, it's just, now she's saying, oh, it's just a boobamizer. It's an old wise tale. And the picture frame falls down. Do you think that that was like a loose nail, or do you think it was like some supernatural evil eyeness going on?
I believe in signs.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, that is a sign.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Absolutely.
Let's go with that. Maxwell finally decides to go to the carnival, but that also means he would be meeting Mr. Brighton's headmaster. Fran realizes that she must tell Maxwell about Brighton, but Brighton doesn't tell on Fran. So that's really cool. He doesn't like rat on her.
He cares about her.
I was really excited to see that happen.
I think that was like the moment where you see like Brighton, you know, he's not such a bad kid. And even in the beginning when he quotes, you know, everyone assumes the worst of me, you know, yeah, or something. It's like, you know, sometimes when you... I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes when I see like young boys, maybe his age, I'm always like, oh, you're up to no good. You're up to no good. What are you up to? You know? And I think that was the moment where, you know, hey, we gotta give him a little more credit. Some of these kids really just, they're just misunderstood and they're learning themselves.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that it shows, you know, he cares about her and he doesn't want to get her in trouble. I think that's very honorable. I'm so proud of him.
Mm-hmm. Good for him. Mm-hmm. So when she's directing Maxwell away from going to the carnival, she's talking about the weather, and then he says that the carnival's in a gym. And I'm like, what kind of stinking, stankin' carnival is in this gym?
Yeah, how are you going to fit all the rides? Is this got to be like a big, huge, or unless it's just games? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, my idea of the carnival definitely got minimalized. And I'm like, oh, I don't feel like I want to go anymore.
Yeah.
It's in a gym? Like, how good could it be?
Yeah, I mean, unless I was, you know, like teenage Trish at that age and I was just boy crazy and I just wanted to be around all the boys in school or whatever it was.
Though we did have this, like, I think it was some kind of field day, pep rally, something going on in my gym, I mean, in my school. And I think it only end up happening in the gym because of the rain or something that day outside. But they filled the gym with all these, like, bouncy house type of stuff.
Oh.
I don't know if there was actually a bouncy house, but there was, like, different obstacle courses and kind of like stanchions where you would get those blow up sticks that you would hit each other with and try to knock each other down.
Yes.
So like that was really fun. Yeah, so it was something like that maybe. Yeah. And if there's food, obviously that's a plus.
Yes. And if they are from like a high end school, maybe they like did some, you know, extravagant thing. And
yeah. But I think I would be disappointed if it was just food and there wasn't additional entertainment.
Yeah, that would definitely suck. But I would still go for the food and the boys.
Yeah. So when Maxwell gets angry about the smoking, Fran says, "Oh well, I can't talk to you right now because you had cake yesterday." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And she says, "You have low blood sugar. You're irrational."
That whole fight was like, that was it. Parenting in itself at its finest. And I love how they demonstrate this with the nanny and him. It's just, again, showing that she's the mother figure in this house and she's taking over, you know, and it's good because that's what they need. Every house has to have that, you know. And both of them, you know, in a way, I'm like glad that they're able to argue because you can't really, do you really want to argue with your employer?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in this situation, I love that she was comfortable enough to just, you know, just let it out.
It's really funny to me because she's so serious, but what she's saying is so bonkers.
Yeah.
Like the reason, I guess like there is probably scientific backing behind, you know, eating cake and high blood sugar being risen by that and it like crashing afterwards and maybe that could affect blah, 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 blah. Anyways, just being it said sounds bonkers to me, but I love that she's like using this as an actual reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So we're at the theater, and we're seeing who on stage?
Carol Channing.
So Carol Channing initially made her mark on Broadway in Gentlemen's.
We love asses.
Gentlemen asses. Prefer blondes. Now that's definitely plural. The blondes. We have many blondes, one gentleman. Oh, isn't that just the patriarchy? Playing Lorelai Lee, in Hello Dolly, she played Dolly Gallagher Levi, the witty, manipulative widow, intent upon finding a wealthy husband.
Yeah, I love that. I love that musical.
She don't got nothing but one word in before he goes next.
That cameo was perfect. And also just the fact that she told, you know, Fran to just break his legs, you know, just as a supporting role. Honestly, those 2 seconds for me was great. I love that she was there. I love that she was present. I love the cameo. And, you know, it's a 20-minute show, you know, so I love that they could squeeze that in there. And I also love the fact that Fran went there just to speak to him.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore. Like, who goes anywhere anymore to talk to anyone?
There was no cell phones, Trish.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think for me, I sometimes will still stick to that. Like, I like to be able to talk to someone in person. You know, not that I would just go, you know, unexpected. But I love that she specifically seeked him out just to speak to him about this.
So, I wonder why she didn't perform at all. Like, was it just supposed to be funny? Or was she was like, y'all can't afford a song for me?
Yeah, like, exactly. I was like, how much is the cameo? You know,
yeah.
How much did they have to pay her?
I was definitely, because, you know, you have someone so talented and then they do. Actually, there's things that I've seen where you have someone actually known for being a great singer and then in the show or movie they sing badly.
Yes.
I also really like that. That's really funny.
And the fact that she was just like turned away immediately, you know, and that was, honestly, that was like great comedy relief. That was great.
So Fran confesses to Maxwell that she inadvertently gave Brighton the idea, Maxwell is initially angry with Fran, but he also realizes that Brighton did not tell on Fran, meaning that he has bonded with his new nanny.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was talking about, and I love that.
So I'm happy that he's all into it. He's like, oh, like, you know, they've driven away all these nannies. He is finally, like, liking one of them and is bonding with them. But hasn't it been obvious? I feel like that's already, like, he's like, it looks like he's just having this epiphany now. He's just realizing that Brighton likes Fran, but I'm over here being like, did we not put that together? I thought that was already, like, a thing.
Yeah.
But then again, I guess he's not really paying attention to anything regarding his kids, so that might be an epiphany for him.
Yes, and I love that she's kind of opening his eyes, because, you know, in the beginning, you know, of the show, or when they were in the kitchen, you know, he was, like, trying to just... He made a comment to Grace, he made a comment to Maggie, he made a comment to Brighton, just like a quick parenting thing. And how many times me as a parent, you know, will just try to say something just to be like, okay, well, make sure you wash your hair, make sure you brush your teeth, you know, and I think somehow that makes me feel like I'm being a better parent, just reiterating that. But sometimes, you know, leading by example is a good way, and, you know, it's not always just, you know, making a comment or saying something just... to make sure they're straight. You have to kind of just be in their lives. You have to observe, you know, what they do, and you have to pay attention to your children. So actually, you know, I like this episode because it's also, you know, a lot of like the parenting styles that we do, you know, as parents. Mm-hmm. What is the right way? And but the fact that they were arguing also, again, like a mom and dad would, and, you know, her just kind of getting at him, and you know, and also the perception that, oh, he's just out working and having fun with his buddies. You know, how many times do we say that? Oh, if you're work, you know, you're working, you get a break, but then I'm home with the kids all day and I'm exhausted, and you're a parent too. It mm-hmm. shouldn't just be me. And yeah. I think that's also a huge message, you know, and I like that because they're showing the audience like, hey, you know, this is real life stuff that we're dealing with.
So I don't know if you can hear, but I'm getting slightly distracted by the so it's raining tonight, and the water's like trickling down the gutter, and I just was like, where's this fish tank?
Yeah, just did you get it's it actually sounds like we have like this sound effect of like nature.
It sounds like a fish tank.
Yeah,
right.
It's making me want to relax or
let the water in a fish tank,
or use the restroom. I don't know, one or the other.
So punishment, what do you think you would use as punishment for your kid smoking?
I mean, at this point, I feel like they'd have to, you know, I would probably do the scare tactic, the fear tactic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But also, I want to go back to when Fran was like, oh, I'm the worst nanny ever, mm-hmm. you know, because she's blaming herself for giving this idea. And it's crazy because, like, we kick ourselves all the time. Are we doing the right thing? You know, as parents, you're like, are you doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing for my kids? Did I, you know, damage them even more? You know, so it's a lot of, I like that. That's very relatable as well. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Punishment for smoking. I mean, there's so many different ones that you hear about. Like, you have someone's smoke a whole pack of cigarettes, or some parents have even made them eat a whole pack of cigarettes.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I remember that. Reminds me,
oh, what's this movie? It's a dolphin movie. I can't, Flipper. I think it's called Flipper, where the uncle catches his nephew smoking a cigar, and he makes him smoke every cigar that he smokes. So they had to smoke together every single time. And he's just like puffing one out. And then eventually he gets sick, and his mom calls, and the uncle's on the phone with his mom, and he's like, oh, he's tied up right now because he's vomiting his guts out.
Oh my
God. For smoking so many cigars. I don't know if that's the best option, but it's, in my opinion, in the movie, I thought it was really freaking funny.
Honestly, I think that's another one. I feel like, you know, now, you know, you have to mix like the old school way and the new school way.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know, it's some things we're like, oh my God, that's way too harsh. But then the older generation, I find it that, you know, I don't want to criticize the younger generation, but let's face it, you know, every generation is different. And I think some of the old school ways are still very, very effective. And then you have, like, now you have these videos that are like, this is what happens when you smoke, you know, and that fear tactic. And I feel like a lot of times I do that, you know, I kind of scare my kids with certain things. And then sometimes I'm like, what is too far? Like, one time my daughter didn't want to go in the pool and she was like, I didn't go in the pool. And it was a perfect day for a pool day. And I told her, when I saw that attitude come out, I was like, okay, you know, obviously that's natural for a kid that's, you know, 11 or 12 years old. But I remember showing her a documentary on these orphan kids in India. And she saw probably 15 minutes of it. And she was immediately, like, just taken back at how these kids were, like, living. And a part of me was like, was it, did I take it too far? Did I, like, show her too much? But then these were legit things that are happening in the world. There are homeless kids. There are orphans. There's, you know, kids that are suffering and not having a meal, you know, every day. So I wanted to just show her some perspective and show her that, like, hey, you have it good, you know, and you have to appreciate what's around you. And I'm going to tell you right now, she did go in the pool that day. So, so something worked.
Yeah, yeah. So they feel like they need to show Brighton the hazards of smoking. So Fran decides to pull out the big guns and introduce him to her chain smoking grandma, Yetta, the one that our drink is inspired off today, the Yetta Rita. Yetta. So we got some Alzheimer's going on here. Do you know anyone or have you experienced someone with Alzheimer's where you had to be like, oh, no, I'm Trish. Like, they don't remember who you are.
You know, luckily, you know, I haven't. You know, I've seen and spoken to a lot of, you know, people and friends of mine that have had family members that's had either dementia or Alzheimer's. And it's, you know, it's heartbreaking. And at the same time, a part of you, I've noticed from multiple people, there's, you know, they get used to it a little bit. Obviously it's still hurtful, you know, with the reality that that person maybe can't remember you. But I think it goes on for a good period of time and you start to get desensitized, or you kind of just, you're like, you know, oh, they can't remember me, and then you just kind of get used to it on a daily. But really, you know, it's very heartbreaking. No, I haven't. But have you?
I have. My great grandmother had a lot of memory issues towards the end. She did pass 4 years ago, and she thought I was my dad.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, I think that's portrayed in a lot of movies and TV shows, yeah, where, like, the grandson or granddaughter is being looked at as the son or daughter from the person who is, yeah, sick. And so that was, like, really, especially because, like, my dad isn't around, yeah, because he isn't the greatest person.
Yeah.
So when she's like, Oh, Georgie. And I'm like, oh, like, whoa, no, not Georgie.
At all, yeah. Yeah. First of all, I'm gay. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it's, yeah, it's, I can imagine, you know. 4 years ago.
Yeah. So I mean, but that, I mean, she, yeah, lived, I mean, my great-grandmother, she was, yeah, definitely, like, she was kicking it towards the end.
How old was she?
I know my grandmother, it just turned 75.
Yeah.
So I don't remember how old she was when she had her, but I would say, you know, definitely in the 90s.
Wow.
You know, and that's, well, that's always that, great. Well,
what's her first name?
That?
I don't know. You forgot your great-grandmother. All right, this is Dylan's great-grandmother. Cheers.
I mean, you grow up and you're always, like, hearing,
it's true,
you know, grandma or great-grandma. So, like,
I can,
it's just, yeah.
I don't, you know what, I don't, I'm not even mad, because as a Filipino, you have family everywhere. And sometimes it takes, like, a whole hour for my mom or more just to explain to me who is who and, yeah, how we're connected.
Yeah.
Or if we're connected at all, because Filipinos just tend to say aunt and uncle and stuff like that. So,
understandable. What is your opinion on smoking?
I myself, to me, everyone has their vice. So if you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, then don't. I feel like there's so many other things that can kill us. And I know there's people out there that's like, oh my God, Trish, how can you say that? It's still very bad. Obviously I don't like it. But I have my times when I do want to do it. So especially when you drink, you want to have a cigarette. So I can't say I'm completely innocent. But I have to say, you know, it's something I wouldn't want anyone to get started on, for sure. Especially my kid. Because, you know, it's expensive, for one. And then two, it slowly does kill you. And three, it really does bring on wrinkles. And it just doesn't, it's never just a good thing. But everyone has a vice. So to me, I'm like, do whatever you want.
I definitely don't agree with smoking. I don't smoke. I did. I smoked initially when I was really young. I think I was probably 10.
Wow.
I probably had my first cigarette when I was 10. And I had my last cigarette when I was in 10th grade.
I remember, I must have been like 8 years old, and I saw an ashtray at my aunt's house, you know, back in the Philippines. And I can't believe I'm publicly saying this. As I was curious, and I wanted to know what it was. I didn't light it. I just saw the ashtray, and I don't know why I did this, but I blew into it.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I blew into the ashtray, and all the ash just flew all over my face. It went everywhere, and I had to scramble and clean this up so they knew, you know, no one can that I was messing with this ashtray.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
But I know my husband, I think they got, him and his sister got in trouble, because I think she saw, like, I don't know if it was his sister or him. I think it was my husband. He got like the cigarette butts, and they like lighted it, and then they were trying, and they got caught, and they, you know, got crucified for that.
Oh my gosh. A funny story about cigarettes, actually. When I was younger and we were out doing firefly catching, lightning bugs, I did not find a lightning bug, but I did find a cigarette butt that was still lit, and I grabbed it. And I burnt my finger, and
burnt my finger.
So everyone, put out your cigarettes. Please dispose of them correctly, because you're gonna burn little fingies off.
Wait, why were you gonna touch the cigarette?
I thought it was a lightning bug.
Oh my god!
It was in the grass. I thought it was a lightning bug.
No,
it wasn't a lightning bug.
It's a cigarette.
So
I'm so sorry happened.
Yetta says that her friend is hair net with phlegm. And I'm like, but she don't have a hair knot on. So is this another, like, person who lives there? Or is this the lunch lady?
I don't know. I thought it was one of the residents that lived there or something.
But why does she have a hair net on?
That's true. She's got to be, like, the lunch
lady. I mean,
lady,
maybe.
Or something.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. But
Ethel, I love her.
I'm like, she must be a lunch lady. All right, so I think we're ready for some of our segments. First segment, every week, we're picking our bestie of the week. Who is your bestie of the week?
Honestly, it was Yetta. I just, even though she was around for such a short period of time, I loved her immediately. I feel like maybe I'd be her, like, in the future at some point. Just, you know, scaring the hell out of the kids and, you know, trying to put some sense into them. In that way, not just scaring them for no reason, but just maybe both scaring them for no reason and, you know, putting some sense into them, because nothing like a Yetta. Just, you know, a couple of cents.
Yeah, just
25
good,
cents.
Good 25.
Maybe 50 cents on a good day.
I'm going to say Brighton's my bestie of the week. He was holding it down with the homie status. He was like, I ain't gonna rat on my girl Fran. So I was like, yo, if he gonna be loyal, let's be besties. That's okay.
And he didn't get her, you know, caught. And I think also the fact that, you know, he showed like his good side. That
snitches get stitches, girlfriend. Home biscuit.
And he was also very smart. I was like, oh, if I'm going down, you're going down with me. So he's like witty, but at the same time, he had heart. And he's like, hey, you know.
What's your most quotable quip?
Honestly, I loved when Carol Channing was just like, break a leg, but make sure you break his. Because it's just like such a supporting, you know, thing. Because she was about to tell him something that, you know, he wasn't going to agree with, or she was scared to confess to him that, hey, I gave your son this idea. So I like that, you know, in that short period of time, Carol Channing was like a supporting kind of, you know, character too, you know?
Mine is, I wasn't feeling 100% that day. I think I was ovulating.
I love that.
It was It was so just meant to be funny. I thought it was hilarious. So Fran definitely got my most quotable quip this week.
I think that was like when you said to me that it's like full circle when you would get the pastries and you're like, I'm on my period.
Yeah. I'm so, getting the donut and I'm getting the cookie.
I'm ovulating. We're going to use that now.
I'm ovulating. I need my cookie. What is your fashion favorite?
Honestly, I love the, here we go again, just like the last, podcast we had, it was a debate between, you know, that sparkly dress, if it was red or pink. I like the giraffe, like the black suit with the black bag. I loved giraffe or it wasn't leopard.
Leopard, giraffe, giraffe,
it
leopard.
Looked like a giraffe. It was basically the last, was it the last scene? It was the last scene,
it was
right?
A lep bath or a giraffe-bird. That was horrible. Think, please excuse me.
What's in
please
these
excuse me.
Margaritas?
Well, if you want to know what's in the margaritas, go to the Nanny and Niles pod on TikTok or Instagram to see the video later on this week.
Yes, and you're going to definitely feel them because clearly we're feeling them. But
yes.
Also, just a quick catch. Did you notice, because one of her other outfits was the high rise, you know, the high waist jeans,
yeah,
with the white button down,
uh-huh,
and the red vest.
Uh-huh.
And in that scene when they had the auditions, Cece was also, can I just say how annoying she got? Like, oh, she was so annoying. But but again, that's her purpose, which is great. But she had also in that audition scene when, you know, Carol Channing and you know, Fran was there. Cece was sitting in the audience, you know, too, like, we're, you know, and it, she also was wearing the white button down.
You're going to make me sad now because that's my favorite outfit.
Best.
Not Cece's, but Fran's from earlier. I mean, you obviously got to say that Fran's was better, even though it was similar.
That was my next question. Like, who wore it better?
Oh, obviously Fran.
Fran,
obviously,
yeah,
Fran.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I was like, wait, she's wearing the same like, well, I don't know if she was wearing jeans, mm-hmm, but when she was sitting down, she was wearing the white button down with the red vest. So clearly, you know, there was something about that.
Well, but originally, I thought it was a red vest, red and yellow vest, but then I looked at it closer, and it's a red vest, and the white shirt that Fran has a yellow collar.
Oh.
So it looks like it's part of the vest, but it's actually separate. I thought that was a great
shirt
combination.
Yeah.
A little,
yeah,
bit of mustard and ketchup going on there.
Hey.
So what is your rating? How many Mr. Sheffields are you giving this episode?
Honestly, I give it a 5.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to give every episode a 5, but I just love...
I feel bad because it's like 2 5s right in a row. And
right.
I'm the same way. I'm definitely giving this a 5, Mr. Sheffield.
Yes, I just love the fact that, you know, again, it goes back to the parenting thing. And,
mm,
you know, and also it's not just even just the parenting thing. It's like from the parent's perspective, from the employee perspective and the employer perspective. How do you handle situations like this? It gets awkward. You don't want to impose. You don't want to argue with your employer. And then also as a parent, how do you keep your kids from doing destructive things or things that could potentially harm them in the future? Like, there's literally no book for this. So I love that they demonstrated all this stuff in a 20-minute episode. And I love that because it showed that, hey, you know, we can work together and we can, after the argument, we can work this out and figure something out. And clearly they scared the crap out of Brighton and I don't think he's going to touch a cigarette anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pilot was 5 out of 5 because it was a great pilot. I rated it for, this is what I want to see for the first episode. And then this one, it's like, okay, we're solving a problem. Here's the problem. This is our solution for it. And I didn't find it annoying or overdone, and I thought the solution to the problem was really good, so that's,
yes,
why I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. We're doing an after school special, we're learning a lesson, it's a great lesson with a great solution. I'm giving it a 5.
And you have Carol Channing, and
oh yeah,
you have, you know, you have Yetta, and
yeah,
you have like great women here that are just like examples and how you want to be. And I think if there's anything that the new generation can take, it would be something from the old generation as well. That, like, here, you know, these are these strong women, you know, and they're going to help you get through it type of thing, you know, and this is how you do it.
Well, do we have any closing thoughts? Anything you left out?
Honestly, I think at this point, I loved Yetta. I love this episode. I hope you guys loved it too and can take something away from it as well. You know, it's one thing to laugh and feel good, but it's another to laugh, feel good, and then take away a message also. And I think that's something I really appreciated about this episode.
Well, I want everyone to share their ratings if you're wanting to do so. You can email us at thenannyandnilespod@gmail.com. I want to hear your bestie of the week. I want to hear your most quotable quip. I want to hear your fashion favorite. Any other questions or comments, concerns, we want to hear your feedback, what we can do to make this podcast better for you. Please let us know. You can follow our TikTok and Instagram at The Nanny and Niles Pod. You can follow me at Dylan Gayman. That's DylanGayman on Instagram and TikTok. And Trix Mix.
You can follow me too at TrixMix910.
All right. Well, bye bye now.
Ta ta.